The landlords of an Orlando entertainment complex are suing two restaurateurs for refusing to move into a renovating building because they claim it is haunted. Subcontractors who work there and other people have reported seeing ghosts or other apparitions, according to Lynn Franklin, the attorney for the restaurant owners. She said this is very serious. A lot of people are corroborating having seen incidents in this location. The $2.6 million lawsuit filed last month by the owners of the Church Street Station Entertainment Complex says an offer to hold an exorcism was refused. I have no idea how they're going to prove this or not in court. That's a strange story. In a moment, phenomenon. Her name is Sylvia Brown, and we're going to talk about everything paranormal right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, are you ready? Sylvia Brown is known the world over for her psychic talent, her counseling ability, and her research into parapsychology. Sylvia first noticed her psychic ability when she was 3 years old, and for many years shared her gift with family and friends. After moving to California in 1964, she continued assisting people privately. Then in 1974, Sylvia incorporated a foundation for psychic research, now known as the Sylvia Brown Corporation, to further her goals. In 1986, she formed the Society of Novus Spiritus, which is based upon a Christian Gnostic theology. She also donates many hours to help find missing children and assist police in solving crimes. She's our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Welcome back, Sylvia. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great. How are you, George?
I'm fine. You know, it's been a pretty bad week or so. I've missed you, too, and I'm glad you're on now because, you know, in addition to just the psychic chat we always have on the program with you, Sylvia, you tend to calm people down, and I think right now, we probably need that more than ever.
Oh, yeah, with all this stuff going on in the world, we need something to calm us down.
I get emails from people now who've been listening to the show, and they say, George, please, make us laugh. Just tonight, please.
I know.
I mean, they just...
It's sad.
How much can people take, Sylvia?
Oh, not much more, you know, but I think... George, with all of this going on, I think that what I'm seeing, because, you know, I lecture so much and I do 20 readings a day, there is still, it used to be underground, but now it's up above the ground, so to speak, is there's a tremendous spiritual movement going on. I don't mean just because of my books or whatever. I mean it's just going right across America and even in Canada where I go. People are beginning to question, you know, and find answers and search for their own spiritual, you know, center. And I think that's the only thing that can make us happy.
Because lots of things to talk with you about.
You know, because when you look externally, everything looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. And that's not being negative. I mean, and now we've got this other hurricane that's heading for Florida. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, trains, which I did predict that on Montel. I said, for God's sake, stay off trains. But, you know, people are just feeling like most of the time that there's just no tomorrow. And if there is a tomorrow, it's not a good tomorrow.
But you're a positive person. I'm a positive person. I think that we can pull ourselves out of
I do too.
This.
And I think that, George, it's all a test. I mean, everything in life is a test, but you know, as corny as it sounds, or as, you know, as much of a cliche as it is, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think that by just observing and trying to help and do what we can and pray for people and know that things are all destined to happen, that we are going through this to make ourselves better, then we all will graduate and go to the other side and be happy. I think that gives people, that's not a false hope, that's a reality.
Well, a lot of people tragically have gone to the other side over the past week or two, Sylvia, down there in the New Orleans area.
I know, and that's horrifying.
God. You saw a little bit of this when we were on in December because you said weather-wise there was going to be some hard
horrible.
Hits.
Yeah, yep. And I even said it first on your show, and then I said it on, because, you know, you scoop a lot of it, you know, you really do, because, but I said on your show first that, you know, the East Coast, and now I'm worried about the Carolinas, but I said, you know, Florida and all that outlying area there is just going to be in for hell, you know.
Now, you have a spirit guide named Francine.
Yes, I do.
Does she help you with these predictions, or is that all you?
That's all me.
What does Francine, the spirit guide, help you with?
She doesn't help me, but I swear to God, if you were in the room with her and I was in trance, she would help you.
She'd give me the advice I needed, right?
Yeah. See, her advice to me is everything will be all right. Well, hell, you know, and ultimately that could mean, well, you're going to die and everything's going to be all right. I mean, it's just, oh, don't get me wrong. Spiritually, as far as a lot of information, my books or research, she's really helped me with. But as far as my readings and all that, no. No, she never has.
Well, I love the subject matter of the new book, Phenomenon, because it really encompasses many of the things that we talk about in Coast to Coast.
Well, you know, the reason that I did write it is because I didn't want people to think that, you know, we as psychics or spiritualists or whatever you want to call us, because Montel always says, what should I call you? I said, I don't know. Call me Sylvia. But it's almost like for a while people thought we talked in a strange language, you know, clairaudience, you know, ectoplasm. And I wanted people to realize that this has been around for ages, way back when my uncle was even in the spiritualist camp. And so many people don't know. I mean, they have experiences, but they don't know what to call them. And on top of that, then they get frightened. And so I thought, well, heck, let's put it in the book so at least they can read about it and know that they're not nuts.
You know, I call you the world-renowned psychic when I introduce you. And, you know, your predictions, many are right. A few get wrong, but you're a human being at the same time.
Only God is right.
You're also a sensitive. I mean, you have an intuitiveness about you where, and I got to tell you, Sylvia, if you weren't doing what you're doing, you could hang up a shingle as a psychologist and probably, you know, relate to people that way too.
Possibly. And I do work, strangely that you should say that, with a lot of psychiatrists. I have a tremendous reciprocity with psychologists and you know, psychiatrists. In fact, the head of the psychology department in Santa Clara University used to say, Sylvia can get to the heart of the matter, which takes us 12 years to get there. You know, that was one of the nicest things that anybody's ever said. You know, he said she just cuts through the fat.
Let's look at some of the past predictions, some of the things you said. Some of them obviously won't come to a fruition because there are years and years out there, but I want to see if you're going to alter those or tune them up or change them at all. One of the things you said on the last program is that we are going to have some severe eruptions, and also we're in for the big polar tilt. You still feel that?
I think that we're in a polar tilt now. I think that's what's wrong with the tsunamis and everything. And look at Asia got hit. You know, it was only on for a few minutes, but it got hit like, you know, just terrible. And I think it was in Japan. You see, what I am convinced of with the polar tilt, and this has happened, this is not the only time it's happened. And now, my guy did tell me this, about every 12 to 15,000 years that the world goes into a tilt. And, of course, now what we have, what we didn't have before, is we have a warming trend, which is even worse. But, see, I still have all the confidence in the world that the world will right itself. You know, I mean, it's gone through, you know, the dinosaur era, you know, when everything was wiped out, but the earth will survive.
I'm told that the ozone layer is starting to rebuild itself.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a good sign.
Oh, absolutely.
The people who sit back and wonder about life itself, and they can't find their own meaning to their own existence.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell people like that who are basically lost? They don't know where they are.
You know, if people just knew or would understand, and, you know, I have to always put a disclaimer. Everything that I say, I always say to people, take with you what you want and leave the rest, because I, you start telling people what to do, then you get a cult. But I think that if people just realize that we come down here to this place that's pretty much like hell, and I don't mean that to be negative, but it is hell because there's not some pit in the ground with somebody in a red suit, you know. In fact, I married him, but but we come down here to learn. And, you know, like a woman said to me one day on the phone, she said, I thought I'd have a happy life. I said, then you shouldn't have come here. Doesn't mean that life is miserable. But I think that when we go through these things, it strengthens our spirituality. And I think it's so simple. People ask me all the time, what religion should I belong to? Whatever you feel best with. But I think the bottom line is very much what all of the messengers, whether it was our Lord or Buddha or Mohammedan or Apollonius, is love God, do good, and then have the decency to shut up and go home. I mean, it's so simple. We've made it so complicated.
So true. You thought that Mount St. Helens would go within a year, maybe next year.
Yes.
Can I still stick with
yes,
that?
I'm still sticking with that.
Do you ever alter some of your thoughts and predictions?
Not very much, no.
All right.
No, so not very much. I usually am pretty stubborn about sticking.
My line producer at night, Tom, is a hockey fan, and you were so right last year when you said there would be no hockey season.
Yeah.
I mean, he was to the point, when you said that, I've never seen a guy get so depressed in all my life.
I know.
He had season tickets. He was ready to go.
I know.
And then it even came in, and he said, no, she's going to be wrong in this one. I know it. And you weren't.
But, the other thing I do want to put out there, and I don't want to frighten anybody, you know, because I said that, you know, trains would be hit, and they have been.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'm worried about are trucks. You know, trucks coming in and out. I'm very, very concerned, and I hope that,
fuel trucks?
No. Any trucks that are coming in, refrigerator trucks, food trucks, whatever. I'm just concerned about trucks. And I think that if we could get extra security to check the trucks, whether they're... See, I come from an old trucking family, but my father was in trucking. But
okay.
Whether they're being piggybacked or whether they're being, you know, coming in, I think that people should check trucks more.
You mean that you think they're bringing something in?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you a couple questions that could frighten a lot of us, but I want to get your views on it.
All right.
One is, over the last couple months, Sylvia, we've been having guests on who seem to be in the know, who think that the nukes will go off in America. Some say that the suitcase nukes are already here. They're planted here. What do you see?
No, I don't see that at all, George, and I'm not being mispositive. I don't see that at all. No.
Well, I'd rather hear that from you than what they're saying.
I don't believe
that. You're right. I hope if you're right about anything, you're right about a lot.
I don't believe that at all. That's not going to be the way the world destructs. No. And I do think that regardless of how much we can bitch and groan, although I do think that FEMA should have gotten over and helped those people. That really ticked me off.
But that was a disaster.
It was terrible. We were right on the button when it came to the tsunami, but here's our own people. We can't do anything with them. But no, I don't see us going up in a big ball of flame. No, I don't see that at all.
What about this girl in Aruba, Natalie Holloway? She hasn't been seen in months now.
She's in deep water, and what bothers me so much is, of course, see, they're governed by different laws. I know that the guy that was the son of one of the politicians,
yes.
I know that all a three judge. Of those boys, and especially him, they know a lot.
See, now he's in the Netherlands going to college. They let him go.
I know. Oh,
she's
sure.
Incredible. Now, when you say she's in deep waters, you say she's dead.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And dumped.
Oh yeah, absolutely. She was dead right after she was missing.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were hoping, if anything, maybe she was kidnapped, taken on a ship somewhere, and she's in some slavery. Which,
no. She's. No. I always say to people, you can only be two places. You're either here or there. And she's not here, so she's there.
I mean, do police still ask you for help?
Oh, all the time.
it seems like they seem to have forgotten all about the Chandra Levy case. Remember that one out there in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
I mean, they found the
bones. I was on Paula Zahn, and I said, you keep walking over. You know, and sure enough, they did. And I said, the bracelet is there and everything. And Paula called me afterwards and said, oh, my God. I said, she's right on the side there, and you keep walking over.
What a strange murder, Sylvia.
Yeah.
And I have my suspicions, but
me too, but we won't say it over the air.
Yeah, you can't without proof.
Mm-mm.
You can't. JonBenet Ramsey, you ever take a look at that again?
Yeah, and I still think, I don't say so much the family, but I think the family has always known more than they've said.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to interview a friend of mine who's done a lot of research into that, and, you know, he's got his own suspicions as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely, I do, too.
Saddam Hussein supposed to come up for trial eventually.
Isn't that crazy?
What's going on there?
Well, of course, he won't get off, but I mean, you know, how ridiculous he's going to come up for trial. What are we going to, who's going to plead his case, you know?
He's already saying that he did some of these things, but I don't think he's plea bargaining yet.
No, but you can bet your life he's going to try to.
You had said that you thought that he would never get to trial, that he'd be dead before this happened.
I think the man is very ill. Have you looked at him? He looks sick.
Oh, he does. He looks like he's got some disease.
Oh, yeah.
Osama bin Laden, you still think he's gone?
Oh, I think he's dead. I don't care. I don't care how many tapes they put out there. You know, it's like, let's say that I give you 15 tapes, okay? And I'm dead. But and you keep releasing tape after tape.
And you make them somewhat generic where they have...
Absolutely. And they say, well, hell, Sylvia's still alive. George keeps putting them out there.
Well, you don't know, God forbid, but when that day ever comes, let's say 100 years from now, and maybe you're not with us, I'm still going to play your old tapes. You're gonna live forever. Montel and I have a deal. We're gonna just play your shows over and over.
Listen, considering how long my family lives, you couldn't be too wrong because no one in my family on both sides die before they're 94 or so.
Oh, that's something. Hey, how's he doing, by the way, Montel?
You know, bless his heart. I can tell you this, and he doesn't mind it. You know, he is in pain, but what a trooper! I mean, he does all the right things. He takes vitamins. He eats. His protein, he takes all kinds of supplements. He also exercises every day. I mean, you got to realize, George, he's had this for 20 years, and most people that have had it this long, especially bilateral like he does, are in wheelchairs by now.
I like him. He's just a decent...
Well, he and I have been together. I told him, I said, hell, we've been together longer than most marriages. You know, we've been together 16 years.
Yeah, that is a long time. It is a long time. Sylvia, any predictions you want to make?
Just predictions
on your own mind?
No, like I said, I just wish that the security would watch trucks more. That's the only thing that bothers me is the trucks coming in and out, you know.
And you see that more immediate than long-term?
Yeah, more immediate, yeah.
How about gasoline prices? Where are they going to hover?
Gasoline prices are going to go up. And, you know, I know that's a horrible thing, but, you know, they've been $5 over in Europe, and not that I think that's great, but I don't see them coming down anytime soon.
Yeah, they're going to hover around the $3 level probably.
Yeah, well, you know, I did go to the lake with my son the holiday, and, you know, nobody was on the road, and I know why. It's because we had a Volkswagen, but it's because they can't afford the gas prices.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, do you believe in miracles?
Oh, of course I do. I've seen so many of them.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about the new book called Phenomenon, because the subject matter includes, listen to this. This is like a checklist of coast-to-coast programs. Atlantis, clairvoyance, deja vu, ghosts, numerology, reincarnation, sorcery, zombies. We'll talk about all of them in a moment with Sylvia Brown on Coast to Coast AM. And everything you need to know about the paranormal, we're going to chat with Sylvia Brown about that in a moment. By the way, we're not going to take calls with Sylvia until the last hour, okay? So those of you calling right now, no one's going to answer the phone, so you can just sit back, relax, enjoy the interview with Sylvia Brown. We'll take calls last hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie along with Sylvia Brown. Sylvia, I've got another Coast guest who pops on every once in a while. She's a good witch. Her name is Evelyn Paglini. And I can't tell you, every time she's on or you're on, people say, that's Sylvia Brown.
I know.
That's
you told
Evelyn.
Me that.
What's
you said that our voice
is down. It's amazing. Well, if we're lucky to get her, I want her just to say hello to you so people will realize that she is she and you are you. We got to do that. I don't know if we can get a hold of her at this hour, but we'll give it a try for just a second. Look, I've read a lot of your books, and most of them that enter in my hand, I must pass on to my mom in Detroit because she's a great fan of yours.
Oh, bless her.
This one is very special to me because it deals with a lot of the subject matter we've had on
the
show and Art has had for a long, long time.
Right.
Tell me about this. What finally got you into this evolution to concentrate a lot of your abilities and talents into these various subjects, into one book?
Well, I guess that, you know, next month I'll be 69, so I guess after 52 years, you know, you start gathering all this knowledge, you know, whether it's ectoplasm or, you know, dowsing and all this, and numerology, astrology, everything, you can't help but run into it. And, of course, the minute I run into something that, of course, early on that I didn't know, then I began to research it. And then I realized as I began to talk, this was earlier on because people are pretty much astute now, is that people would go, huh? So I thought, even now people say, I don't understand what clairaudience means or whatever. So I thought, well, no, I wanted to write it, not a dictionary, but a compendium of not only finding out what you've gone through, let's say, doppelganging or talking in tongues or whatever, and people don't understand, that they at least can feel like they're not crazy, that they can go into the book and find out that this is something that has been around for a long time and has been, at least according to my view, a reality.
Are there really doppelgangers out there? I mean,
yeah,
people call.
I actually seriously ran into my own. I was... it was when my kids were little, and I had been breastfeeding. I was up, and it was so hot. And I never will forget, my mother gave me this god-awful-looking muumuu that I wore once in a while with these big red flowers on it. And I went downstairs to turn down the thermostat. As I was turning down the thermostat, I saw myself coming down the stairs. Now, I'm pretty much of a scientific mind, and I don't go, as you know, a lot of for this woo-woo stuff. And I thought, wait a minute now. Is my consciousness on the steps, or is my consciousness at the thermostat? And then I realized that it's a form of bilocation. Do you see what I mean? In other words, we can split. And as soon as I thought that, the apparition or my doppelganger immediately, it seemed to come together. I felt this whoosh, and, you know, then I was together. But I actually experienced that myself.
Do the doppelgangers always take on the personality of the other person, and are they the evil portion of
No.
the evil
I mean,
half?
It was me. I was smiling. I looked still hot, you know, and aggravated. I mean, see, my guide says that when we're on the other side, or our spirit guides, we can bilocate. Well, if that's the case, then every once in a while, I think we can catch a vision of ourself that is, you know, kind of split.
All right. Does the other self have a personality? Is it thinking? Is it going through its day-to-day routines like you are?
Mine wasn't. It was more of, and it was real, and that, the reason why I mentioned that god-awful moo-moo thing was because that was the first thing I noticed was that god-awful red rose thing, you know. No, it wasn't thinking. I was actually the one that was thinking by the, you know, the thermostat. But see, I think this also makes sense of how we can be in bed in our own body. And this sort of goes along with the astral state. You know, there's a part of us that can leave and still have our body. You see what I mean? In the bed, still be wandering around somewhere.
But these doppelgangers are different from what people say, hey, you've got a double out there somewhere. Or are they the same?
I think it's really the same. Yeah, I think it's really the same. I heard a little bit about this doppelganger, this guy who was running after him, or he was running after it. I don't mean to be mean, but that's kind of strange. I mean, that's a little bit, you know, out there. But that's the only time I ever experienced that. But I want to tell you, not that most things don't frighten me. I think I was more just in awe of the fact that how the hell, and of course, like I said, was my mind coming down the stairs with me, or was I at the thermostat? No, I was in full reality at the thermostat, and this was sort of an apparition of me, which I'm firmly convinced that our soul has more facets than we realize. Do you see what I mean? It can split. But there was no thought of that person in that person that was me coming down the stairs.
You have said that as you try to glance into the future, you come up against a brick wall. You can't see beyond a certain time period.
I can't see beyond, well, at this point it's 95 years, because I said it about 5 years ago, and I
told
you how Montel was the one that triggered
that. That's right, 2100,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I really have to say, because I do believe what our Lord said, that no man can tell the end of time. I don't know if that's the end of times, but I tell you what makes me realize it could be, because in all 52 years that I've been doing readings, I have never seen as many people that are on their last life as I have in the last 20 years. I mean, I used to see people with maybe two or three more lives or whatever, but not anymore. Even at lectures, or like I give salons to 50 people, there are so many people that are on their last life. And that makes me suspicious. Now, I don't mean the earth or the world's coming to an end. I think it's just a form of schematic. And who knows, maybe the world will go into a whole new rebirth. You know, let's say the ice age, the heating up, and then maybe life will sustain itself again, and maybe we'll start the whole reincarnation process over again.
Could be. You said once that Atlantis and Lemuria will rise again as the polar tilts.
Well, you know, Jacques Cousteau, God, time gets away from me. It's been so many years ago, but he actually, before he died, found temples and everything off of Bimini. And, you know, when you go to Santorini, they have no problem saying to you, I mean, it's actually in their store windows, we're part of Atlantis. I mean, they don't think a thing of it.
Are you a fan of the late Edgar Casey?
Oh, I loved Edgar Casey. Yes, I thought he was probably the most marvelous psychic of our generation. I missed him. You know, I mean, I was born in 36 and he died in the 40s, so I just missed him, you know.
I think people like you, Edgar Casey, and some others that are out there have an ability to tap into something out there. I don't know if you're helped by the other side, but you somehow have gotten into the groove of whatever that is, and you don't get out of it. And
well,
you know,
see,
I don't know how you got in it.
I have to believe that, first of all, it's that I chose it, and it's part of God. It has to be. But I also know, in fact, there was a wonderful woman in Seattle that did my genealogy, which I'd already done. And she tracked my genealogy back 300 years. There's actually 300 years of psychics. I mean, you know, my son is a psychic. He's a working psychic. My grandmother was, her mother was, my uncle was, my great uncle was, my granddaughter is. I mean, I have to believe scientifically also that it's a genetic thing. It's the same thing as saying, well, of course you're a musician. Look at your father. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've got a friend named Joseph Jacobs, whom you might know. He's an intuitive. His mother was, too. I do think it's genetic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've even said, and people think I'm really ghoulish, and I said, you know, after I die, maybe they could do a real thing about my head and see if my pituitary gland is enlarged or whatever, you know.
Would you want them to do that?
I wouldn't mind. I'm not going to be there anyway.
Huh. I wonder if I can keep it in my office.
Yeah, in a jar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I just tap it every time I went in to do my show.
Anytime you want to know something, yeah.
A little inspiration. Let's just go to Sylvia's pituitary.
Yeah, ball. It's like that ball that you turn, you know, and it says yes or no.
Like the eight ball. Well, I tell you, you know what? You're right, but you could have something different biologically about you. You know, Secretariat, for example, after he passed on, they
right.
found out that he had a heart twice the size of a normal horse heart.
Horse,
it was,
yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't one of those, that, you know, diseased
no.
enlarged heart. It was just a huge heart.
Huge heart, yeah.
And you know, that horse could not be beaten.
No, you know? And he was probably, you know, we talk about all the other horses, but that horse really stands out as being probably the giant amongst the racers, you know.
You don't stop. You have not slowed down in nearly 50 years.
No.
Why?
And if you looked at my schedule, you'd say, I can't believe it. Well, because, see, George, I think it depends on what your passion is and how much you love it. If you don't love it, or I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? I absolutely adore what I do. I don't mean now that I don't get tired or I don't get cranky at times or I don't get, you know, a little bit down. But that's just human. But overall, I love what I do.
I mean, I go on your website every once in a while for a little inspiration and just to keep tabs on what's going on, sylvia.org. And, you know, I track your schedule. You still have these citywide speaking engagements.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you continue to write these books. I mean, you just don't stop. And I think, more importantly, I think you enjoy dealing with people, don't you?
Oh, I love them. And you see, the thing that I am convinced, that camera, the voice over the phone, or the voice on the radio, you can't fool people. They will eventually find you. You know what I mean?
True, absolutely.
They'll see it in your eyes. They'll see it in your movements. They'll know you. It's like looking into your soul. And people really know that I love them and that I pray for them. And that's not being Miss Goody Two-Shoes, you know. It's just that I truly, truly love them.
We tried calling Evelyn Paglini, by the way, the good witch, and she's not answering her phone. So the mystery may continue, Sylvia, whether you and Evelyn are the same person.
Listen, if I were to get my sister on the phone, you'd think it was me. My father used to call up, and my mother and my sister and I all have the same voice. And so my dad would call, and adored my father, and he'd say, who the hell am I talking to? And I
that's
say, who
funny.
The hell do you think you're talking to? And he say, oh, well, that's Sylvia then, you know.
Have you had the husky voice since you were a
kid? All my life.
That's
and
something.
So does my grandkids. They have the husky voice.
That is.
And, you know, people say, do you drink? No, I throw up. No, I don't do it. I don't take pills. I don't do anything. It's just I've always had the husky voice.
I could just see you as a 12-year-old being called upon in school to answer a question, and you have this voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you a good student?
I was a very, very good student, and I actually came into my own. I wasn't too thrilled about grade school, but I absolutely adored high school and college. I could have been a continuous student. I mean, I would have been one of those professional students if I could have been.
Did you have people come up to you, students, and say, so
oh,
Sylvia,
yeah. In fact,
what's my grade going to be next year?
Yeah, oh, yeah. In fact, when I was on a show in Seattle, and they're trying to do it for my newsletter, is Donna at Hay House is getting together a lot of my high school students and some of my third graders, and every one of them says they just stood around and asked me what was going to happen, and I told them. I mean, I never was shy about it. I even read for Nuns and Priests, which is going to be another book one of these days. But no, I have to actually say that the Catholic, you know, because I was a Catholic school teacher for years, that they actually protected me. I guess they figured if my head didn't turn around and I didn't spew out green after a while, I was okay. But they've always been champions. In fact, I've got a Carmelite group in Spokane that prays for me all the time.
Let's talk about numerology for a moment. We've had guests on with numerology, but you write about numerology in the book Phenomenon. Tell me your views on that.
Right. Yeah. I think that everything has its place, you know, whether it's skiving or crystal ball. The only thing that I've always made a point of, whether it's tarot cards or whatever, although I'm very, very much against Ouija boards, I think there's something terribly wrong with them. But I think that whatever you use, astrology and numerology, you also have to use your psychic ability with it. If you just use the mathematic part of it, that's fine, but it gets too vague. But now you add the intuitive part or give it up to God and let it infuse, then you've really got the best of both worlds.
Do you believe that people who have the same numbers, whether it's the birth date or whatever, will have similar traits and the outcome of their lives may be the same?
No. You know what strange is, and I had a mathematician tell me this. My son, who's psychic, is born on February 19th. I'm October 19th. My other son is August 19th. Their father is August 19th. So I have to believe, and I had a mathematician tell me that was just way off the charts, that there was some kind of, let's say, good karma, because we haven't had bad karma, that we came down together and all of us are on the 19th.
Sylvia, will numerology continue to point people in a direction, or do we still have this free will?
Oh, I think we always have free will. Well, especially on the other side, I think we have our chart that's laid out in front of us. But I think there's a tremendous modification in the chart. In other words, your chart, let's say, would read, let's take a negative, that you're going to have an accident. But see, by being aware or being protected or calling on your angels or the white light or whatever, you might have a fender bender instead of a full scale head on. In other words, you've completed what you were supposed to do, but you've modified it.
How do we know that when we get this intuitive sense, you know, George, don't go through this green light because someone's going to go through their red light. So stuff. Is it an angel telling us, or is that some other mechanism in our system?
No, I think it's part of God. I think it's part of your spirit guide. I think it's your angels. I think it's all of the above. You know, it's like, why did you take this one street when you usually go another street? Because you just felt bad about it and then found out there was an accident. See, I'm so surprised. People say, I don't get any information. I said, yes, you do. Why did you call Susie and find out she was sick because it hounded you? Or why did you take that street? Or why did you, of course, we all should buckle up, but why did you buckle up when you don't usually do, and then you almost had a near-miss accident? You see, we get messages every single day of our life, and we just wipe it out as coincidence. See, I don't believe there's any such a thing, George, as coincidence.
No, nor do I.
No.
You and I agree on that one. I had a call about a year ago. We were taking special angelic calls during Christmas.
Right.
And I got a call from a truck driver who said he fell asleep and he was going off the road and he would have gone over an embankment and down a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up to see a hand, mind you, a hand on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Turning him back onto the road. There was nobody else in that cab.
Absolutely.
I mean,
well, you know, when I wrote my angel book and I put out on my website, I said, if you've had any angel experiences, please write me. Well, my staff almost killed me because we were getting like 10,000 to 20,000 emails a day. I mean, people were just bombarding us. Finally, I had to say, okay, thank you very much, and I love all of you, but stop.
Well, I can't believe this first hour is already up. Two more to go with you, Sylvia. Hey, Sylvia, one quick question. Is your sister Evelyn Paglini by any chance?
No.
All right.
No.
All right. Gosh, I'll get to the bottom of this yet. I'll be back in a moment with Sylvia Brown. Don't forget the last hour. We'll open up the phone lines.